This is the Microsoft Libraries and Museums podcast, a show dedicated to exploring the journeys of digital transformation with organizations from around the world. I'm Emily Kotecki. In each episode for season two, we are doing a deep dive into different aspects of digital transformation. Today, we're going to dive into digital equivalency with two guests from the University of Technology, Sydney, in Australia. Michael Gonzalez is the university librarian, and Daniel Hamilton is the communications manager. Thank you so much both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're making my podcast dreams come true.
I've always wanted to be in a podcast,
so I'm so excited.
Michael, let's start with you. How do you define digital equivalency, and why is it important for you and your mission as the university librarian?
I guess I'll start why it's important from the university librarian's sort of mission. And that's sort of a general librarian mission about connecting people with services, resources, other people. So it's kind of a connecting aspect that all us librarians try and do. And particularly in the university, we try and connect people to services and things that will help them succeed. So how we define it is about having a digital mindset and actually thinking, you know, how can this be done differently? My big thing is to be everywhere. And someone calls it digital on campus. So it's not about being online, but also just being connected, even though you're in a physical space. It's actually how we connect. So it's really interesting to walk into an environment that sort of understands that there is a way of doing things digitally, but at the same time understands how to do things in the physical sense. So it's an interesting balance that you have to try and achieve.
So, you know, an example of this would be the exhibitions program, which it brings to life the collection, which would otherwise be, you know, traditionally stuck on a shelf and in a closed book and you wouldn't see it. It allows people to engage in different ways. We've recently launched the digital equivalent of that. So exhibitions can now be accessed online as opposed to having to physically come to the space and that being the limiting factor to it. And it opens up a whole new world of possibilities around engagement for the clients and how they can experience what the library is and what a library is to them. So it's not just what a library is to us, it's what a library is to them, and making sure that we deliver that across all different facets for that equivalent experience.
So to that end, how do you think about making an experience equal as opposed to something that's the same?
One of the things that we work really hard on here is having a specific design language, and you can really know what is library, whether you're online or whether you're off. So, you know, our physical spaces and our online spaces actually complement each other. All of our services as a general ethos, we design and have to ensure that they have a digital presence. What is the digital version of this is the question we ask whenever a new service gets fired up. But it's really interesting because, you know, you can't replicate everything, right? So what we try and do is sort of at least have pointers. If we can't replicate it, how do we point back? And it's really opened up for us the opportunity to partner with other areas, because there are things that we don't do. So the group study rooms is an interesting one. We're looking at the moment and converting a couple to sort of podcasting rooms, our video casting, so students can come in and record, because that's become a big assessment thing that we do here. And that's started a conversation with the people who support the literacies behind presenting and how can they help us support this service and how do we point back to their website. And it's all looking at things more as an ecosystem, not just as the library doing the thing, but actually who do we bring in with, who do we partner to make these things successful? We also partner with Microsoft. So during the actual lockdown period, Microsoft reached out and said, what can we do to support you? And one of the areas and the gaps that we had is around the students. You know, people assume that students are digitally literate, right? And I always say this, they're like, they're not literate. They're not using technology effectively. You know, they're quite happy to chip away at it until they get it right. And Microsoft reached out and we actually partnered with them to deliver, which has become one of our more successful services, online skills training. So Microsoft actually delivers things in Excel, in Teams, in Power BI, in the sorts of products that they provide for our university. Because in all of this, what became really apparent during the lockdown was the learning that students did from each other. So, you know, a student will ask another student, how did you do Excel? Because they're sitting next to each other in the classroom. When you don't have a classroom, it's actually the peer learning that's gone, the informal peer learning, and they weren't getting any more. That was a gap that Microsoft helped us fill here at UTS.
So it sounds like it's this mixture of using semantics and language, but also understanding the opportunities and limitations of these different spaces, and partnering seems to help fill those gaps.
Yeah, so partnering helps us fill the gaps, but actually on the semantics and language, and I really raised my hands in excitement when you said that, is that I'm a very big fan of making sure that things are consistently called the same thing. And we did a whole load of work around defining what our digital ecosystem is, and where we put what and what we call what we put into those channels. So our website went from being how many pages?
19,000 odd.
Down to about
70 to 80.
So we took our web page down from being the place where we stored everything for everyone to taking an ecosystem look at where we've put our information. So our training is not on our website. All our online training is actually in Canvas, where it's more useful, where an academic can pull it into a course, where we can pull it into a course, where a student can access it in the context of their learning. Our researcher support sits with the researcher support area. So taking an ecosystem feel allows us to be a little bit more targeted in terms of what we do, but it also means that we've redefined what, for example, our webpage is for. Because we don't call our webpage the point where you just dump everything like we used to. It's mainly for orientation. So taking an ecosystem feel and making sure things are consistent and we apply concepts consistently, it just allows us to be a little bit more cohesive, but it's also given us an amazing sense of scale of what we can do.
But that identity, that language within an ecosystem, in the learning management system of the university, the library's presence in there is instantly identifiable as that. It's the library. So it means that they can expect the same level of service, the same level of quality of resource of accessibility through that different system because we're being pervasive into it.
Daniel, your communications manager. Michael, your university librarian. What are your roles in supporting these efforts and how do you work together?
Yeah, so in the communications sphere, that to deliver that equivalent service, you have to be able to drive awareness of it. So we map the student journey to look at where we best deliver service, where we best deliver resource within that. There'll be certain peaks and troughs as that goes on where higher access is required, higher support is required, and other times where it can be, or it will quite often be lower for a majority of students. And that's obviously a scale thing. There's going to be outliers, but to be able to be accessible throughout that whole time, to be at that point, Michael's talking about earlier, where the library is everywhere, so they can always access, there's always that level of support and delivery that and quality that they would expect. That's the communication side. But on the flip side, it goes a bit further into the user experience. So instead of just standing there as a communications manager and pushing out a message, you need to take it in. So we listen a lot to the students. We listen a lot to what the clients of the library say.
And on that, and I think, you know, to this audience, we spend a lot of time just practically with something that people can do is we looked at every system we use and in terms of delivering our service, and then we actually set a priority. What do we prioritize this system for? And we moved away from this just-in-case model of delivery to a just-in-time, which means it's there when they need it in the context that they need it, as opposed to us replicating things in different formats and putting things everywhere. So, you know, and it wasn't a small amount of work, and it actually took a lot of negotiation internally, but it's one of those cultural shifts to sort of say, hold on, we don't have to be everything to everyone, you know, because that was, you know, part of our problem around managing 9,000 pages on our website. And just back to Daniel's point, the other thing that's actually really important, and people underestimate this, is the brand library, which is, you know, we invest a lot of time and money at UTS thinking about what our brand is and how we internally communicate that out and what we are to our students, our clients, and how they see the library. And that's a huge way I rely on the comms department, is that they are responsible for managing the brand.
How do you support that ecosystem of so many people? I mean, Michael, you mentioned like a cultural shift. How do you support that ecosystem and that cultural shift so that the change that you're seeking sticks and continues for years to come?
we run things as a program. So, I mean, there's the mechanics of it, but part of it is that I generally am very big, at least with so three directors report under me. I always say it is important you work together, don't rely on me, you know, as much as I'm a micromanager. We try and work collaboratively. We're very transparent in what we're doing. So even when we were defining our services and we were defining what our digital ecosystem is, that all gets presented back to every single staff member. So this isn't something that the management team does behind closed doors. We attend monthly meetings and we make sure that people understand the context under which they're delivering their service. How do we ensure that it remains and it sticks? I guess you just to keep an eye on it, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Like, you know, people tend to, especially the COVID thing, people tend to go back to the old ways, which is the known. Mm-hmm. So the unknown, you know, in the middle of all of the, you know, pandemic uncertainty, the challenge for us was making sure people were looking forward, not backwards. And the mindset stuff is actually the most important stuff. It's the getting people to think in a different way. And that's not easy. And it takes a long time. You know, and although I'm saying a digital ecosystem and we've done service definition and we did a website, these projects were going for 2 years. So they're not things that, you know, we just did. But, you know, at a basic level, you know, it's conversations we were having over 2 years and saying, is that right? Is that not right? Is that what the way we do it?
Michael doesn't give himself the credit. The way Making It Sticks is it's a large cultural change piece and it comes back to the people. So it's a whole of library thing, but it's a whole of library with every individual person who works there or as a client of it coming along together on it. So there's a communication facet, making sure everyone, you know, knows that journey, comes together on it so that it isn't dependent on those people being there. It's the culture that continues, that thrives on its own and brings people in, and talking to others around the university around, you know, what is the brand of the library? You start to hear that culture reflected back to you around they are leaders. The library pushes things forwards. There is, you know, that push for equivalency and high quality and continuous innovation and improvement on everything that the library does. And coming in from the outside, you know, I'm not from libraries, I'm not from universities, but I think libraries as a sector potentially are at a point where they are being driven by external forces of change that private sector would experience on a day-to-day basis, but to a degree, libraries have been insulated. And that COVID, you know, Mike was just saying, it pushed people back to what they were comfortable with, but there's also vast opportunity to go forwards into what that new future of the industry is.
I think for a lot of libraries, the pandemic and the lockdowns and having to move to digital service delivery actually did show the substance was there. We understood service culture. We understood resource delivery. We understood supporting our clients. And all we did was need to change that up really quickly. And the challenge for us would be keeping that momentum going, but also ensuring we have the skills in the staff that will match our aspirations. So, you know, we're doing a lot of work this year in looking at what we want to be next and do we have the right skills in place with our staff to be able to achieve that.
I was thinking about, as you were talking, is that COVID has impacted things negatively and positively across the board, but it seems like it forces you to really think what is in person and what is digital, like more than maybe any other experience you could try to create for yourself as, you know, some kind of prototype. Is like you have a pandemic and how do people experience and what do they want out of a physical experience and what do they want out of a digital experience? And for you guys to kind of be able, like, as you said, to lean into this in some ways and try things and see these new opportunities and new avenues.
During COVID, it was interesting for us because we technically didn't close. So our spaces were still all available. We still had a click and collect service. Every single one of our service had a digital equivalent within 24 hours. And we also provided space online and as well as on campus. So it's really interesting that we were able to sort of turn it around so quickly, but it just goes to show that the foundations were there. But during, you know, all this time of uncertainty, our clients went back to what they knew and we were the sort of the main thing that they wanted to access on campus. It was the number one thing people wanted to know. When does the library open? When is it closed? Can I still come in?
How do you know if you're being successful?
How do we know we're successful? It's the feedback that you get that doesn't come from data. So the one student who can say, you know, while I was at home because of COVID, I was able to access everything. I passed because of that. There's success in that. There's also the accessibility equivalency for students. So being the University of Technology Sydney, obviously the focus is on Sydney, our location. And it's talked about as the latte line, which is a colloquialism around the socioeconomic impacts or divisions across Sydney, where if the digital equivalency is, you know, access to a space, and we think about accessibility to a space, you know, can someone move through the physical space? We need that infrastructure for accessibility in the digital space as well. So the equivalent service can be delivered, the equivalent resource can be delivered. Success is ensuring that that happens. It's ensuring that everyone down to that last person can really access everything. They have the support that they require and their success is met. Ultimately, our success is tied to theirs.
So my final question is, where or how do you feel like digital equivalency supports the goal of digital transformation?
So when you're looking at digital equivalency, we're looking at experience design. It's somewhat of an alchemy. And I guess the equivalency aspect really helps focus the mind in relation to who we are as a library and what it is that we do within our context. And, you know, I've worked at a few libraries now, and I can't stress how important it is for the library to go down the path of saying, who are we in the context of our institution, and what is it that we do, and what is it that we deliver? And once you've got that really clear, the equivalency will help you focus, because that you know what your goal is and what you're trying to do and what you're trying to be. Equivalency means that digital transformation is grounded in what we do really well in our context. Equivalency, it gives us scope. It means we can be anything we want to be. It gives us scale. It means we can be anything we want to be as long as it's sustainable. And it also gives us the centrality, which means we can be anything we want to be as long as it's sustainable and central to the experience of our clients. So when you're able to look at equivalency within those lenses, you're actually quite focused. It isn't this giant thing that looks impossible in terms of digital transformation. It is actually what we do really well, just digitally enabled.
Daniel Hamilton is the communications manager. Michael Gonzalez is the university librarian at the University of Technology Sydney in Australia. Thank you both so much for being here.
No, thank you for having us. This is just a dream.
At the end of every episode, we hear from Catherine Devine, Global Business Strategy Leader for Libraries and Museums at Microsoft. Catherine, what do you take away from this conversation about digital equivalency?
Thanks, Emily. I am so thrilled that we have made the podcast dreams of Michael. He's such an amazing advocate. I'm really impressed by what he and his team and Daniel have done at University of Technology Sydney. Now, I'm a little bit biased as I'm also, you know, alumni of UTS, but from many, many decades ago, actually. But it's a great institution, and I love the way he's thinking. He talks about this really important term, which I haven't heard it referred to as this, but I really like, called digital equivalency. But, you know, he talks about this idea of a library anywhere, everywhere, or the library is everywhere. I think that's what he said. The idea of, why are we constraining ourselves to a physical space? Why are we not thinking about, you know, what access we're providing by making it available anywhere, anytime, wherever you need it, which frankly is how we live the rest of our lives. We're used to this idea of just pulling up our phone wherever we are and getting the information we need. The world wasn't like that 20 years ago, but it is now. And it's fundamentally changed how we all live, whether we like it or not. But it actually brings enormous flexibility. I remember from my early days of university, you know, I had to drive an hour into Sydney to be able to go to class, to be able to go to the library, etc. I had challenges around, you know, how late can I stay at the library, and how can I get home safely, and these kinds of things. And it limits your access. And I really love this idea. I'd love to hear more talked about it on this topic. So very much in admiration of UTS and what they're doing, and look forward to next week.
Thank you, Catherine. And thank you again to Michael and Daniel. A new episode of the Microsoft Libraries and Museums podcast will be released every Monday. But make sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Emily Kotecki. Thanks for listening.